John chapter number 3. If you weren't in our adult Sunday school class this morning, on the front of the bulletin has a quote. I'd like to read it to you again. This is missionary Henry Knott, missionary to Tahiti, way long time ago, late 1790s, early 1800s. It says, "The only sure remedy for the ignorance, the depravities, the sorrows, and sins of mankind is to be found in the Gospel of John 3:16. Often we refer to John 3:16 as probably the most well-known verse in our Bible. And I don't ever want us to... It would be a sorrowful thing if God's people ever got over John 3:16. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I ask you a question this morning. Does God love you? Well, the Bible tells me, "For God so loved the world," and I'm part of the world, therefore, God loves me. Maybe you've lived a life, or maybe your life has been subject to hurt and sorrow and difficulty. Maybe there were stretches of your life where you felt just unloved, unwanted, unneeded, maybe even kicked to the side a bit. Maybe the world had its way with you for a period of time, and I want to tell you that God loves you here today. Completely, totally. So you don't know what I'm like. You don't know what I'm about. You don't know my past. You're right, I don't. But God knows, and yet He can still make this proclamation that He loves you. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. And God, I am thankful for Your love. Lord, I so depend on it. I so need it, Lord. God, as we assemble here today with the purpose of worshiping and honoring and glorifying You, I pray that we would meditate on this thought, Your love for us. Lord, bless this time now. Use Your word in a powerful way in our hearts. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. A great danger would be to attribute the love of God as some sort of weakness. This is a shallow message. This is a message a little bit lighter in nature. I want to hear the hard things of God. I want to dig deep into the pages of the Scriptures. Hey, you can't turn a page in your Bible without reading about God's love. It's from cover to cover. It's what it's all about. It's about Jesus Christ, the manifestation of God's love for mankind, made into a person. For God so loved the world, the Bible says this, that He gave. John chapter number 15, look at this. John chapter 15 and verse 13. John 15, 13. It's good to have friends, isn't it? "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." John 15, 13 tells me God loves me so much so that He would lay down His own life for me. We saw the news this week of 13 American soldiers that gave their life. And we saw those pictures and we saw their faces and it broke our heart. If I knew their families, I would go over. I would do anything and everything to express my appreciation for their life. There's many things on the internet, sending things to the family, condolences. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." In verse 14, "Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you." Hey, it's good to know that God loves me this morning. He loves His friends. And because of His love for His friends, What should we do? We should follow him. It is not unreasonable for God to expect us to keep his commandments and love him and follow him. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5 and verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without Christ, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for you. He doesn't love you because you're something wonderful. Actually, quite in our worst state, that's when he expressed his deepest love and care for us. He showed us his love when we were a mess. It wasn't until after I met Christ that I actually get myself cleaned up a little bit. The Bible says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to evaluate your life here today. I want you to think back over the years. I want you to think back over the years. I want you to think back of the time when you met Christ that day. Maybe you knelt down at an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you were in your living room, someone telling you at your kitchen table, at a coffee house, maybe in your own bedroom, and you knelt down in your hearts. Maybe you were in the church house, wherever it was. And in all honesty, you said, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I deserve hell, but I put my faith and trust in you completely, totally, to forgive me of my sins. Be my Savior. And oh, maybe there was a relief of the guilt of sin. Oh, the relief of the penalty of sin. See, when we really get an idea of what sin is and the consequence of our sin, man, it makes salvation so sweet and wonderful. Can we travel along that timeline a little bit? The road of life has not been one always of smooth sailing. We just took a vacation. We drove through, and I love the signs. All of a sudden, it says, rough road ahead. And sure enough, because I've seen their paved roads. Pennsylvania is notorious for bad roads, Mrs. Rodell. Notorious. Rough road ahead, and that's been maybe your life. Ups and downs, off the rails sometimes. And yet one thing has been constant. Even though maybe you have not been faithful to the God of heaven, there's been lapses, there's been times when you've turned away, ran away, chose to move away from God, yet something has been steady in your life. His love and care for you. As we look back over our life, no one can doubt God's love for them. Maybe you've made some bad choices. Maybe you made some choices in your path. See, no sin is by accident. Sin is deliberate. It's a choice. Yet God still commends his love toward us. And each and every day I wake up and his mercies are new yet again, and his love is waiting right there at my doorstep. The love of God, point number one in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, is something supernatural. If you remember back long time ago, Mrs. Dickinson, junior high school. We were on our trip. I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse. We have a DVD player in our. We didn't put it in. We bought it. And it was like it. It was there. So the kids are watching movies as we're driving, and one of our favorite shows is Leave It to Beaver. And there we are. So I'm getting a chance to listen to Ward and June and Wally and Theodore, also known as the Beaver. discuss things of life, and there they're going through the ups and downs of life, and Wally is with this girl, and now he's with that girl, and they're going steady, and they're not going steady, and we have our friend Eddie Haskell, and he's in and out of the picture. And all throughout, a common theme, Beaver does something dumb, or Wally leads a girl on. It's pretty much all seven seasons of Leave It to Beaver. In and out of love. Maybe you in junior high school were ready to elope, run away. You had it all figured out at 12 years of age. This was going to be the person you were going to spend the rest of your life with. Come to find out, times have changed, and all of a sudden they gave a little extra time to somebody else or gave attention to somebody else, and your heart, which was so melted and knit with this one over a peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and whatever it was at the lunch table, now has moved on to the next person. And that is the love of mankind. So often up and down, but I'm here to tell you the love of God is something supernatural. In verse 5 it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." How did God get that love there? It is by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, it says, which is given unto us. No, we can pretty much buy anything we want at Amazon or Walmart, anything you want. But we cannot find the love of God there. It is not something purchased. It is not something redeemed. It is not something exchanged. It is a gift of God through the Holy Spirit of God. It is not man-made. In verse 9 it says, "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Love of God is something supernatural given to us by God Himself. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Aren't you thankful for God's love this morning? Man, I am. I'll tell you, I don't deserve it. But He just pours it on. There's times, I know this is going to be strange to you, there are times where I am unlovable. I know, Mrs. Wilson, I know you. Mrs. Wilson's kind of like my grandma. Sees no ill rose-colored glasses. You ask my other family and they'll tell you. But there are times that we are unlovable. Maybe when you aren't feeling well. Anybody ever get, anybody a bad sick person? Like, thank you, Brother Rodell. Appreciate that hand. She's hitting you to tell you, this is you. This is your turn. Raise. Get a little sniffle, a little bit of headache. I'm under the covers. Give me the remote. I want tea. And don't talk to me. Tea. When you're not feeling well, that's what I go with. Maybe a little ginger ale, some toast. Just leave me alone. Unlovable. Yet God still loves us. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh," that's me, "but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Thankful for the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. "For to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Thankful that God's love is expressed, locked in onto me. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." But you're not in the flesh, he says. Hey, good news. But that's not you. I wasn't talking about you, he says. He says, "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But I am, and you are." See, when that day you knelt down and asked Jesus Christ to save you again, whether it was at the beach house or the church house, wherever it was, the coffee house, your house, God gave you something. He sealed you with the Holy Spirit of God until the Bible says, until the day of redemption. Something supernatural happened. A relationship was established which you cannot get out of. I remember years ago when I was young person, there was a kind of a movement amongst late teenagers, like 17, 18, 19, that were disowning their parents. Remember that wave of people changing their names? And I remember as a teenager hearing about people doing that. Kids no longer having parents, being able to make decisions for themselves because I'm sure they had it all figured out. You understand that you couldn't write a letter, you couldn't sign a contract and say, God, I want out. He says, that's too bad, because I've expressed a contract with you. I've set something up with you that cannot be broken, praise the Lord. In our worst of moments, I don't know, maybe some of your worst of days were even after you came to Christ. Maybe you got saved when you were young. Maybe you were saved at 5, 6, 7 years of age. And some of your worst years were 14, 15, 16, 17. Yet God's love was constant throughout all of that, bidding you to come. Come back to me. What is that? That is supernatural love. Romans chapter 5. Yesterday I checked the weather. A little nervous. I mean, we can only do so much about it. There's things we can control and things we cannot control. I can control getting chicken fingers here, but I cannot control sun and rain. So yesterday I checked the weather and there was a 40-50% chance of rain starting at about 10 a.m. today. Praise the Lord. Goes up to about 60% at about noon and stays 60%, drops off at about 2-3 o'clock. And I'm thinking, we specifically said not a water day. That's what we specifically said. It's not going to be a water day. And in my mind, well, we just made it a water day. We'll have a good time. We'll be out in suits and ties and jumping on bounce houses. Again, the senior class loves them. And we're going to have a good time with that. And we'll be out there and maybe it'll turn into a water day. I don't know. Woke up this morning. The carnal man in me looked at the weather. 30% chance of rain at about 1 o'clock. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that the weatherman doesn't guarantee things. I'm glad the weather is about as up and down as, well, teenagers' emotions, right? But I'll tell you one thing that's not up and down. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God not only is supernatural, but it is factual. It is true. He demonstrates his love for us by what he did in the past. I cannot doubt God's love for me. Why? Because what he did for me. What he did for you. We can go through the Gospels. We can read the accounts of the beatings, the mockings, the shed blood of Jesus Christ for not his sins, but yours and mine. Not a 30% chance of God's love, not a 50% chance of God's love, not even a 75% chance of God's love. It is 100% factual. He commendeth, that's present. Every time I read that, but God commendeth, it's right there. But what he did in the past, it's right there. God's love is supernatural. God's love is factual. God's love, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad. To shed abroad means to be poured out. Not only is it supernatural, not only is it factual, but it is measurable. It's shed abroad. It's poured out. We have all been partakers to some degree. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, in our hearts, and given unto us. Maybe there was a moment when you were down, discouraged, felt all alone, and you cried out to God and said, God, I need to know that you are real in my life. And just a handful of purpose came by, just to remind you that you're his child. Maybe you had a need, and no one knew about the need, and yet that need came through. You know, one of those, like, to the penny ones that only God knows about. Maybe there was a feeling of peace, knowing that God is with you. Measurable. You can go back to those times. You can go back to those places of when you experienced God's not just love at the moment of salvation, but all throughout your life. When you were nowhere near God, and yet he still continued. I feel like he still continued to send the letters, send flowers, expressions of his love. No, I didn't get a card from the Lord or get a dozen roses. But in my heart, I felt like that. Unto us. Only by the Holy Spirit can the Christian see the beauty of the love of God. Is that not true? Yesterday, our very first door, I was with, I think, Blake and Hudson. Was that our group yesterday? Blake, yes, okay. So our first door, we get out of the car. It's weird parking in a neighborhood over there in Hilton sometimes. You know, you don't want to park in someone's in driveway. That's even worse. And all the roads, you know, everyone's kind of well-manicured lawns, right? So you park off the side and immediately, you know, the town or neighborhood surveillance comes out, right? You know, not even out of the car, and the guy's painting his porch, and he's like, "What can I do for you?" I said, "My name's Nick. This is Blake. This is Hudson. Who can tell Hudson no, right? I mean, that's why we bring him." And I said, "We're from Walker Bible Baptist Church out in the neighborhood, inviting people to church. Can I give you?" He's like, "I'm atheist." He goes, "And my wife's Catholic, so I don't need anything you got." Right, Blake? Right? I mean, pretty much that's what he said. We tried to be nice. We told him how nice his porch looked, and he did a great job. We offered teenage boys to help him, and that was about it. He had nice dogs, right? He had a couple nice dogs. You know what he's missing out on? God's love is there. He just doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God inside to experience that. Wouldn't it be a shame if we did have the Holy Spirit of God and yet we still deny the love of God in our life? I'd like to say, if all I had was God's love, I'm way better off than without it. The love of God is supernatural. It is factual. It is measurable. And then lastly, Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. "Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit," or by the Holy Ghost, "which is given unto us." It's continual. It wasn't just that day when I trusted Christ. No, the more we grow and go with the Lord, the more we experience God's love. Brother Palma, is that not true? The longer I go, the more I see how much he loves me. And the good news is, he's got enough for everybody. It's not just me. It's all of us. The love is something that is continually experienced. Romans chapter 5, we've been in this passage quite a bit this morning. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." Those down times in life, where God tests our faith. He says, "I glory in that, because also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad." So can we follow this for a moment? Moment of salvation, but life doesn't stop at salvation. Oh, that's when it begins. And after that moment of salvation, as a child of God, real tribulations, spiritual battles start going on. Trials of faith. And he says that tribulation brings experience, and that experience will bring, well, it brings patience, and then that patience brings experience, and that experience, having seen God work individually in my life, brings hope. And that hope leads to a deeper knowledge of God's love in my life. So as we go throughout our life, as we go throughout our life of Christianity, the understanding, the experience of God's love gets deeper and deeper. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. This morning, God's love is supernatural, it is factual, it's measurable, it's continual. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. In verse 5, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patiently waiting for Christ. Our hearts directed to the love of God. Say, you don't understand. I am at this moment, and this isn't something in the past. I am currently unlovable right now. The things that are going on in my head and in my heart and in my life outside of this church house are unlovable. And God says, I'm going to guide you and direct you into my love. That's unbelievable to me. Romans chapter number 8. So, Pastor, I think I broke the contract. Oh, well, let's see. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, our relationship with God, the deeper I understand the love of God, see, it's not an abuse of His love. I want you to understand that. You know, sometimes with our kids, we give them an inch, they take a mile. You understand that? We allow this, and then they expect so much more, and it kind of grieves our heart as parents. And do you understand that in my down moments, and God still comes by and loves me and cares for me and lifts me out of that and directs me in a right way? It's not an abuse of His love. It's the very nature of His love. That's what it does. That's what He has it there for. To encourage us in those dark times. I'd be a hypocrite if I said, God loves me at this moment. No, you'd be exactly right is what you'd be. Which will bring us to our final verse, Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's what He wants. He wants you to be strengthened. Say, I'm very weak today. Good news, the love of God will strengthen you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. Look at these next three words. If these weren't truer words, which passeth knowledge. God, you don't understand. I am unlovable. I'm a mess. My life is a disaster. Why would you come? Because it passes knowledge. It doesn't make sense to you and I, but it's God's perfect will and plan for you. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is that breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I encourage you here today. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're on the mountain. Great. Enjoy the glory of God for a season. Maybe you're way in the valley, at about as low as you can get today. Hey, can you allow the love of God to strengthen your heart, His love and care for you to pull you out of that, lift you up, strengthen you, guide and direct you back to where you ought to be? The love of God is supernatural. It is factual. It is measurable. And ladies and gentlemen, this morning, it is continual. It has not stopped. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, if you've never asked Him to forgive you of your sins wholeheartedly, say, I do it every day. No, no. There needs to be a moment, a time. You don't need to do it every day. One time. That forgives you of all your sins in the past, all your sins present, and all the sins to come. Isn't that good to know? That account gets wiped out clean, and it stays that way. If you're here this morning, you've come into troubled waters, can I implore you to allow the love of Christ to strengthen you here today? Let's all stand. Hudson Taylor had many secrets for he was always going on with God, yet they were but one. The simple, profound secret of drawing for every need, temporal or spiritual, listen to this, upon the fathomless wealth of Christ. This morning, whatever your need may be, can I ask you to draw on the fathomless wealth of Christ? If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you've not been born again, you've not had the Lord forgive you of your sins, say, what does that involve? Is there a class? Is there a membership? Do I have to sign something? No, it's a decision actually in your heart, made known by a word of your mouth. Say, I'd like to talk to someone about that. I have some questions. Well, in a moment, the music's going to play, and I invite you to come forward. If you come forward and just stand right here, and I'll know exactly. Say, that would be kind of embarrassing. You know what would be worse? To walk out of here not hearing the greatest news that you ever could. In a moment, the music's going to play. If you're not saved, if you don't know for sure that when you die, heaven will be your home, would you come forward? Stand, just stand right here. I'll know exactly. If you're a lady, I'll pair you up with a lady. They'll take you to up to the offices and just talk with you. Answer your questions as best they can. And lead you to Christ. If you're here this morning and maybe you're on a down moment, and you need that love of God to strengthen you and pull you out of that, again, in a moment, the music's going to play. I invite you to come to the altar. Maybe you're up on the mountain here today and you just want to look around in glory and thank God for His glory and His love for you. I invite you to come also. It's okay to pray when things are good. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time. Thank You for Your love for us. Lord, it is so true. It's right. Always there. Lord, I pray that You bless this time of invitation, whatever the needs may be. I pray that You'd move in a way that, God, that You would get glory. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, I invite you to come and whatever it is that the Lord touched your heart about here this morning.